Sean shook his head, guiltily aware of the thing in the dungeon. Well, go away. Verence wants the kingdom to be modern and efficient, and that means no horseshoes and stuff around the place. Go on, go away.
Yes, Miss Queen.
At least I can do something positive around here, Magrat told herself. Yes. Be sensible. Go and see him. Talk. Magrat clung to the idea that practically anything could be sorted out if only people talked to one another. Sean? He paused at the door.
Yes, ma'am?
Has the king gone down to the Great Hall yet?
I think he's still dressing, Miss Queen. He hasn't rung for me to do the trumpet, I know that.
In fact, Verence, who didn't like going everywhere preceded by Sean's idea of a fanfare, had already gone downstairs incognito. But Magrat slipped along to his room and knocked on the door. Why be bashful? It'd be her room as well from tomorrow, wouldn't it? She tried the handle. It turned. Without quite willing it, Magrat went in. Rooms in the castle could hardly be said to belong to anyone in any case. They'd had too many occupants over the centuries. The very atmosphere was the equivalent of those walls scattered with outbreaks of drawing pin holes where last term's occupants hung the posters of rock groups long disbanded. You couldn't stamp your personality on that stone. It stamped back harder. For Magrat, stepping into a man's bedroom was like an explorer stepping onto that part of the map marked Here Be Dragons. In the case of the A Horseshoe street map of Ankh-Morpork, this would be the sunshine home for sick dragons in Morphic Street. Please leave donations of coal by side door. Remember, a dragon is for life, not just for Hogswatch night. And it wasn't exactly what it ought to have been. Verence had arrived at the bedroom concept fairly late in life. When he was a boy, the entire family slept on straw in the cottage attic. As an apprentice in the Guild of Joculators, he'd slept on a pallet in a long dormitory of other sad, beaten young men. When he was a fully-fledged fool, he'd slept by tradition, curled up in front of his master's door. Suddenly, at a later age than is usual, he'd been introduced to the notion of soft mattresses. And now Magrat was privy to the big secret. It hadn't worked. There was the Great Bed of L'Ancre, which was said to be able to sleep a dozen people, although in what circumstances and why it should be necessary, history had never made clear. It was huge, and made of oak. It was also, very clearly, unslept in. Magrat pulled back the sheets and smelled the scorched smell of linen. But it also smelled unaired, as if it hadn't been slept in. She stared around the room until her eye lit on the little still life by the door. There was a folded nightshirt, a candlestick, and a small pillow. As far as Verence had been concerned, a crown merely changed which side of the door you slept. Oh, gods! He'd always slept in front of the door of his master, and now he was king, he slept in front of the door to his kingdom. Magrat felt her eyes fill with tears. You couldn't help loving someone as soppy as that. Fascinated, and aware that she was where she technically shouldn't be, Magrat blew her nose and explored further. A heap of discarded garments by the bed suggested that Verence had mastered the art of hanging up clothes as practiced by half the population of the world, and also that he had equally had difficulty with the complex topological manoeuvres necessary to turn his socks the right way out. There was a tiny dressing table and a mirror. Stuck to the mirror frame was a dried and faded flower that looked to Magrat very like the ones she habitually wore in her hair. She shouldn't have gone on looking. She admitted that to herself afterwards. But she seemed to have no self-control. There was a wooden bowl in the middle of the dresser table, full of odd coins, bits of string, and the general detritus of the nightly emptied pocket, and a folded paper, much folded, as if it had stayed in said pocket for some time. She picked it up and unfolded it. There were little kingdoms all over the hubward slopes of the Ramtops. Every narrow valley, every ledge that something other than a goat could stand on, was a kingdom. There were kingdoms in the Ramtops so small that if they were ravaged by a dragon, and that dragon had been killed by a young hero, and the king had given him half his kingdom as per Section 3 of the Heroic Code, then there wouldn't have been any kingdom left. There were wars of annexation that went on for years just because someone wanted a place to keep the coal. L'Ancre was one of the biggest kingdoms. It could actually afford a standing army. Sean Ogg. Except when he was lying down. Kings and queens and various suborders of aristocracy were even now streaming over L'Ancre Bridge.